Hello and welcome to the Chengdu Gaming Federation podcast. It is May 2017. My name is Charlie. I'm here with Austin.
Hey.
Today we're talking about some of our favorite recent games. I'm not sure if it's fair to say favorite.
We're talking about some cool releases in spring.
Yeah, there we go. Some cool 2017 releases. Previously, we've talked about a lot of old games, a lot of games from generations past, and we thought we'd talk about some new games. So we got some of those. Recently, there have been a lot of really good new games which have come out. Perhaps the most well-known and most talked about is Zelda on the Switch and on the Wii U.
Which finally came in the mail tonight. It's taken 2 months to get that game here.
Yeah. Talk for a second just about what you've gone through to get this. You've got a UK Wii U.
Yeah, I did not think about the regional differences when I bought my Wii U secondhand from someone here in Chengdu. Later to find out it's a UK one, and getting those discs here is quite challenging.
So the Wii U is region locked, unlike the Switch, so you have to buy games of the region that you're in, which is very problematic if you're living in China, as we are, because it was never released in China. And so no matter what Wii U you have, it's going to be from some other region.
It's not like I can just go down to Computer City and buy a game, or EB Games, which is more relevant to... my Chinese is not that great, so just ordering the game is pretty difficult.
But you finally got it, and have you played it yet?
No. It just came, and I'm super excited to play it immediately after this.
Yeah, so that's been a game that everyone has talked about. There have been a couple other games, though, that have been pretty widely discussed. One of them is the one which you're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
Which is?
Zelda. Strafe,
right? And it's published by Devolver, yeah?
Published by Devolver and developed by Pixel Titans. It came out, I believe, the 15th of this month. And it was successfully crowdfunded on Kickstarter.
Was it? That's cool. Yeah. When was that? Was that like over a year ago? Was that a while ago?
Yeah, it was a while ago. It reached 207 of 185,000. Cool.
So it must have had a really interesting premise to be a successful Kickstarter.
Well, it was advertised to have bleeding edge graphics and gameplay, citing the year 1996.
So it's like Quake era?
Yeah, Quake and Doom are the strongest influences of the game. And the first Kickstarter video was... very 90s, like VHS effects and like a commercial kind of introducing you as the unnamed scrapper.
That stuff is so damn charming. VHS effects, man.
It's great. The actual trailer for the game has like this boy playing at his house, and it gets so over the top that his head explodes.
And then there's
like another 45 seconds of his mom just like crying over his dead body. Like, why?
I haven't played the game.
Kind of dark and morbid.
I haven't played the game, but this is one I've noticed on the homepage of Steam. It's been pretty heavily promoted. I'm not sure if Steam just knows that I buy a lot of Devolver Digital games, so it's positioning it there for me, or if everyone sees it, but I feel like I've been seeing Strafe a lot over the last 2 weeks or so since it was released.
Yeah, actually a week. Exactly a week, I think.
Exactly ago. A week. Did you pre-order it? Did you buy it after?
I pre-ordered it, and oh, I told you I would explain this to you. So if you pre-ordered the game, you got the VV-IN, which weapon, which I believe stands for win. And
The VV-IN?
Yeah. And I waited a little while before I tried it out, but there's a switch. You go over and you pick it up. And I used the weapon, which took me a while to actually charge up. But when it went off, I won the game.
Right. So you saw the credits immediately?
But I saw the credits. I got the achievement for actually beating the game.
So this was a prank, right?
Yeah, it's
like
totally
a pre-order prank?
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really help you unless you can't beat the game, in which case it helps you get an achievement.
So is there another achievement for when you actually beat the game?
I think that's the only achievement.
So you've kind of been robbed out of earning the achievement to beat the game.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I kind of feel the same way, but I can't take it back.
So it's a Quake-type game. What kind of game is it? Like, what's it like? Is it like Quake? I mean, you're just going, like, level to level shooting monsters or what?
There's four levels, I believe, and they're procedurally generated levels. So every time you play, it's a little bit different. And you can, like, get scrap and use it to purchase upgrades, find new weapons, and keep going through, experiencing more and more like difficult enemies. It's like, and it's pretty violent. It tracks how much blood per gallon you actually spill throughout the level.
It's pretty 90s.
Yeah. And there's also an option to make the game look worse in the options, which is kind of interesting. It like makes everything super pixelated.
So it has procedurally generated levels. Does it have other roguelike elements? Or, because I thought it was like a 3D first person shooter version of some other type of game, right? It's not just like a straight up shooter.
No, I mean, it's basically Quake or Doom.
With only four levels.
Yeah, but it took me like maybe 10 to 15 minutes and like several tries just to get to the end of the first level, where I died within like 30 seconds of getting to the second level. So, and I'm not sure how big the other levels are.
Is there a story? Or
and I got 0% of the secrets. No, you're like, the training shows you as this scrapper who's going in, and it turns out the people who hired you misled you, and you wind up in this spaceship where like everything's just gone to shit. As soon as you step out of the teleporter, there's like a dead astronaut or whatever in front of you with like his head blown off, and you're like, ah, oh, shit, and the like sign of the space is like falling down.
So it's kind of like Quake. It's got like the space theme kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Does it have all this like morbid like nail gun and things like that?
When you start the game out, you start out, it's really cool. So the menu shows you in like a cockpit, and then you like select start and go into this area, and you get to pick from three weapons, or four if you count the VV-IN, which I don't. So you get railgun, machine gun, and shotgun. And each of them has an alternate fire. But as you go through the level, you randomly encounter other weapons that you can pick up that are like, I mean, in the trailer, I saw one that's like a little stuffed animal, like frog.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it does, but I've not encountered that yet. So
when you bought the game, this was just right before the Devolver Digital sale, which just started. It's like 90% off a bunch of their games.
Yeah, is that game discounted too? Because if it is, I feel kind of cheated.
Well, you already got it for half the price that anyone else would pay because you're in China, right? Well, was it like 60 quid or something?
I feel like a quarter, like cheated.
Yeah. It was like 60 something quid, right?
It was 48.
48, okay. Yeah,
which I think it's worth it. But, all right, one thing I'd like to say is my computer is a little bit older, you know, and
which video card does it have?
I have dual 750Ms, NVIDIA 750Ms, and it's like maybe a two-year-old computer, and sometimes the game lags. It's not like super well optimized, I have to say. It'll run really well on a newer computer for sure, but...
Well, what do you expect? I mean, if you're trying to run something state-of-the-art like Quake...
Yeah, from 1996.
Yeah, it's like 20 years ago.
Bleeding edge graphics.
Exactly. It's going to require like a Pentium 2 at least. Don't even try with less than that.
Yeah.
What was the old... You need a Voodoo 2.
Oh, yeah. Wait, wasn't that a sound? No, that was a video card. I don't know. Yeah, the Creative
Voodoo series Sound was Blaster video cards.
And the Voodoo.
The Voodoo was like the first dedicated GPUs that were consumer, like gamer cards.
And what happened to them?
They were just knocked out by NVIDIA. I think that ATI and NVIDIA took over where Voodoo fell off. But they had all the crazy marketing and branding. They had like neon, like sorcerers and stuff like that, like on the card box. And it was like Voodoo game for extreme gaming. And this was the time where 3D games were new and GPUs started to become a thing. And playing games like the first Unreal Tournament, you would want a Voodoo card. Then there was Voodoo 2, Voodoo 3. And I think then after that, like it just switched to ATI or NVIDIA.
It's a long time ago. That was like
20 years.
computer gaming world or whatever.
Yeah, there was a magazine. You
see like a bunch of ads for that kind of stuff with the ones you were just describing.
Yeah, do you remember? I remember when Unreal was on the cover of a magazine, and it was a screenshot of Unreal, and the head was like a big bold font on the cover that was like, "This is a real game."
Wait, could you like fold that one open and like see like a larger one?
Because no. This is a cover of a magazine.
Yeah, it was like in a magazine. I saw an ad like that where like the page folded out so you could see more of the like game world.
Not this one, no. But at the time, it was amazing. It looked like a cutscene or something like that, but it wasn't. It was in-game footage.
Yeah.
But now, if you look at it, you're like, ha ha! Yeah. It's like looks like a
holy
like
shit.
A 2DS game or something.
It's fucking unbelievable to think that like I don't know to look back at that stuff. I mean like. Go back and check out Metal Gear Solid 1.
Right. We were just... Metal Gear Solid 1 looks horrible.
Dude.
It looks terrible.
I remember the PlayStation first time 1 I looks went terrible. Back and played it, though.
We were just playing Battle Arena Toshinden 2.
It's beautiful.
That game looks awful. And it just moves terribly, too.
But we played Bloody Roar, and that was pretty cool.
That was a lot more fun. That was a lot better, for sure.
It feels like it kind of held up all
right. Right. So these are not spring 2017 games. Do you have other games on your list of spring?
So,
what else you got?
I had found a game looking through stuff for... actually, you know what? Before I get to this game, I'd like to make note of Phantom Dust.
Phantom Dust.
All right. So Phantom Dust, about 13 years ago, was released... as a budget title on the Xbox, and it just got released.
A budget title. What does that mean?
I mean, like Majesco picked it up and sold it for like $20.
So it just sucked.
No, this is a cult classic.
If it was so good, why didn't they sell it full price?
Yukio Futatsugi, the director of Panzer Dragoon.
Oh, that was a fun game.
Yeah, he designed and produced the game. So it was released in 2004. It's an action strategy video game developed and published by Microsoft Game Studios for the original Xbox. And just last week, it was remastered and re-released for the Xbox One and PC on Windows 10 for free.
Interesting. I wonder why they would do that.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they're trying the... maybe reboot the series. There was talk of them making a new game, and maybe they're just trying to generate hype for it.
So Phantom Dust. So what kind of game is it?
It is kind of like, I would say it's like a Magic the Gathering, like deck building game. But instead of just playing cards like you would in Hearthstone or Magic or anything like that, you control an avatar in this 3D game world. And you can pick up, and you have the X, A, B, and Y. You can pick up orbs that spawn in the environment and assign them to each button. And then you have limited use items like infinite use, one-time use or things that'll give you health, things that'll deal like shoot fireballs, give you like a shield, a jumping ability, all kinds of things.
So you get this through the Windows Store?
Windows Store. So you have a Microsoft account, you sign in, and then you just download the game.
So they seem to be giving away kind of a bunch of games on the Windows Store for free. This is one, Killer Instinct is another. Yeah. There are probably others too.
Yeah.
But how does that work? They're just trying to get you into the marketplace. Is that right? What has the experience been? Because you just registered on there?
Yeah, like I just did it for Phantom Dust because Phantom Dust, like I had it for the original Xbox. I love that game. I just put it on my computer this past week and tried it. It still holds up. The environments are fully destructible. You can like drop like a knock out part of a bridge and kill your enemy by dropping it on them. It's really cool. So I went back to get it. First game I got on the store, though, I know Robert has Killer Instinct, but he purchased like all the characters. I think you get one character that you can play arcade mode with or versus
that is
with.
So weak.
Yeah, it's
that
pretty
is so
lame.
Weak. Why wouldn't they just sell it? Those sons of bitches. I tried to get the game for free, and it just was a train wreck. Nothing worked. I couldn't even get it. I thought, you know, I really don't want to use the Windows Store for anything. And they're giving away a game, which I used to love, Killer Instinct. And the new one looks pretty cool.
It is.
And so I feel like oh, it's free. I should probably check this out. And so I tried to do that and it just didn't work out. I just got frustrated and was like, you know what? I just don't want it that bad.
Yeah, well, it's pretty cool. About as cool as Bloody Roar on the PlayStation.
Yeah, those two seem similar. Seems like there's some thematic overlap.
Yeah, I don't know. But Phantom Dust is worth checking out.
So I think all you have to do is just log into the Windows Store.
Yeah, you log into the Windows Store. It's got a single-player campaign. You unlock like in-game currency and use it to get cards to basically build a deck. And then you can play online. I have not successfully gotten into a game online in China yet, though. I don't know if people don't have the game or...
Oh, everyone uses the Windows Store here.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of players. Because a lot of Chinese
everyone
players.
Uses the Windows Store all over, right?
Yeah, that's like the... No one uses it anywhere. I don't think anyone uses it. This is why Microsoft's like, please, it's free. You love this game, right? Do you like this game? Here it is for free. Please download it.
What did it?
Just
why is no one else following my lead?
Log into Xbox Online Windows 360 Store Xbox One.
Yeah, and add me so we can play Phantom Dust Online. I lost
Austin's,
my old...
Austin's playing it.
I lost my old gamer tag and accidentally went with a name they assigned me on the new one. So I'm Fanatic Bison 130.
Interesting. Do you lose your gamer tag if you don't log in for
5 years?
5 years, huh?
Yeah, mine might be gone.
Mine's probably gone too.
It's super shitty.
I bought like a bunch of games.
Me
on
too.
It.
I bought so much stuff on Xbox One. And not, I mean, like the original Xbox, not Xbox One, and the Xbox 360. It's gone forever.
Yeah, I was about to say, Xbox One, why would you buy that? There are reasons to buy it.
Yeah. So I have one other game I'd like to mention, but if you want to go in and talk to me about something on your list.
Yeah, so we thought about recording this podcast a week or two ago, and I looked at some new games, and I mistakenly... got a game and was really excited about talking about a game and then subsequently realized that it's not a new game. It is Why Am I Dead at Sea.
It's from what, 2 years ago, right?
It's from like this week, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or like last week, 2 years ago. So it showed up on my Steam homepage and I was like, oh, this looks new. I've never seen this before. And I thought it was new and I purchased it and played it and really liked it. And then I was like, is it actually new? And I went to the store page and it's like May 12th or you know something like that. I'm like, oh, it's new. And just totally didn't notice it was from a couple years ago. But it's a really cool game. And I feel like because I've enjoyed it so much, I should at least mention it. It's called Why Am I Dead at Sea? It's an Earthbound style game. I really like Earthbound and Earthbound influence games. And I've mentioned this before in this podcast.
You kind of light up like a little boy. Getting a Christmas present whenever Earthbound comes up.
Hey, that sounds really joyous.
Yeah.
Sounds so happy. Undertale is one of those. Yume Nikki is another one.
What?
Off is one.
Is that the one that Leon told you about?
Yes, that's the one.
What is it called?
Yume Nikki.
Yume Nikki.
Yeah, it's Japanese. So... Why Am I Dead at Sea is a game, basically you wake up on a cruise ship and you're dead. You're a spirit, actually. And you speak to this boy who has some kind of ability to talk to spirits. And he says, you are dead and you've been murdered. And we're both on this cruise ship and you have come back as a spirit because there's some unsettled business for you to handle. So you need to discover why you were killed and who killed you in order to... rest your soul.
Wait, so you're back on the cruise ship you were murdered on as a spirit.
Right.
Right.
So you're a spirit and you can walk around, you can fly around, whatever, on the cruise ship.
Can you interact? Can you go through walls? Can you interact with like real world objects?
So here's what you do. So you can only speak as a spirit to this one kid who has this special ability who like he sees ghosts and communicate with ghosts.
Sixth sense.
Right, Sixth Sense Kid. So Sixth Sense Kid, also, he knows that something really horrible is going to happen to the ship and the people on the ship. And so he says, this ship is going to hell and this is going to be a nightmare.
And
he's very
terrible.
He's very like vague about it. So there's this kind of...
How does he know if he's so vague?
Well, he's got some kind of intuition. So he says, we've got to figure out what's going on with this ship, and you need to find out who killed you and why you were killed. And so that's what the game is about. But the interesting mechanic of the game is you can only communicate with this one Sixth Sense kid, but you can assume the body of people on the ship.
Oh, shit. That's pretty dope.
Yeah. So actually, you go into their bodies, and then you can control them and then make them do things. And each person that you take control of has a special ability.
Wow.
So like some of them can... They all have like a special ability. So you can be like the chef, and he has like
the ability to cook amazing omelets.
Yeah, exactly. Omelet ability. So every person on the ship has a different ability. So you have to use all these abilities to basically talk to everyone on the ship. There's a lot of walking and talking. Actually, I saw it described as a walk and talk game. Like, I had never heard of that, but it's like pretty fitting because
are there battles or anything?
No, there's no battles.
No battles. I want to check this game out. This sounds great.
It's really good. It's really good.
Sixth Sense. It's good, like a mystery. CM Night Shyamalan making games.
Yeah, it's really a mystery game. You know, it's like a story-driven mystery game, but it looks almost identical to Earthbound.
That sounds great.
Even the user interface looks almost identical to Earthbound.
Yeah, but no, I mean, Earthbound's got battles in it.
Yeah, it does. But just the vibe of Earthbound, the art style, just the feeling of it. Earthbound is like really wacky and like silly. It's like almost kind of like slapstick.
I don't know. I RPG. Feel like it looks pretty realistic.
All right. So, but that game is not new. And so after I realized that was an old game, I started checking out some new games, and I found another one which I really, really like.
But also it's like older than you thought it was.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, actually, I first was like, yeah, Vanishing of Ethan Carter. You're like, that's old. And I'm like, oh, that's right. No, not that game. The game I was thinking of is What Remains of Edith Finch.
Yeah, that game looks cool. It looks really amazing.
Yeah, it's a really good game. So What Remains of Edith Finch is a collection of strange tales about a family in Washington State. You control this girl named Edith, and you explore the colossal Finch house, searching for stories as she explores her family history and tries to figure out why she's the last one in her family left alive.
Yeah, so the aesthetics of it look really, really cool from what I've seen.
It's a beautiful game.
And there's voice acting, right?
Yeah, there's voice acting.
Just for the girl? Or is there like other characters?
No, there are other characters actually. Wow. So the way that it works is you start out as the girl, Edith, and you're returning to her childhood home, which she left a number of years ago. And the childhood home like looks like something out of a dream. It looks like a surreal
dollhouse.
Like, yeah, kind of like a little bit of it's like a normal house at the top of a hill with like 30 expansions at the top of it and just like rooms just going up like 200 feet into the air. So it's like this architecturally impossible structure. And the whole game kind of has this surreal dreamlike quality to it.
I really want to check that out.
It's really good. So you go in as Edith and you go into the house. And as you walk up to the house, you can hear her talking, and she's like, I remember this about the house, and every room that you go into unlocks like a different piece of the story and some like story about Edith and her experience and her relationship with the house. And really
and
the whole
family, right?
Yeah, the whole story is really about the family. So there's a game map of the game, and it looks like a family tree. Wow. And it's a tree which shows all the different members of the family going back 200 years.
Whoa.
To Odin Finch, who's like the oldest one from like 200 years ago.
Wow.
And each of these family members are dead, even ones who were born in like the 1970s. And the game takes place in present time. So Edith Finch has family members who died very recently who were like 20 in their 20s or in their 30s. And they've all died, and the game is about understanding why and how they died and what the circumstances of all of them were. So as you go into these rooms, each room is each bedroom is basically a different mini story, which is about one of the family members. So when you go into one of the rooms, you have like a flashback, and the first one, for example, takes you back to like the 1950s. And you're in the 1950s, and you're playing this small girl who's like a member of the Finch family. And she was killed and you play this sequence with her, and it tells the story of how she died and what happened.
Do you see her die?
Yeah. Well, you control her. It's like first person.
You control her.
Yeah.
So you have to like kill yourself, basically.
No, you're not killing yourself. You're playing the story of a family member who ends up dying.
Yeah. How old is Edith Finch supposed to be?
She's probably like teenager, like 17 maybe.
Would you compare it to Gone Home?
Very much like Gone Home. Yes, it's so much like Gone Home. It's also a lot like Firewatch.
Hmm.
Very much like those two games. It's really a story-driven narrative first-person game without any real action. So, I mean, similar to Firewatch or Gone Home, it's almost the type of game where if you could watch like a YouTube clip of someone playing the game and have like pretty close to the same experience.
Nah, but that ruins it.
I mean, I don't know if it ruins it, but I mean, because it's not.
Because you're never going to play it then. And playing it's like a part of the experience, I think. At least for me, Firewatch and Gone Home was.
It is, but it's not a big part. It's not like you're playing it for the gameplay. There's like very, very little gameplay.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, at least for me, the way that you experience it, the way that you like pull yourself through the story and like, you know, take control of the character and like manage the way that things unfold. I think it impacts the flow of the game a little bit.
Well, you just don't have much control over the way that the game unfolds, just like Gone Home and Firewatch. Like, they're pretty much just linear stories. It's like A to B. There's no creativity involved in how you do it.
In Firewatch, there were like subtleties, like small decisions that come up again throughout the story that you chose. They're like, you know, in Firewatch, maybe getting lost or something for a moment and like wandering around, you know, stuff like that, that like, at least for me, being in control of it was enjoyable. And like the way that you see everything, you look at what's important to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, that may be true, but it's a pretty linear game. So it came out in April 25th of 2017, and the reviews are stellar for What Remains of Edith Finch. It's overwhelmingly positive reviews on Steam, universal acclaim on Metacritic, and the game is available on PC and PlayStation 4. And there's a bunch of great media quotes just praising the game, basically. Guardian gave it 5 of 5 and said, "Succeeds in recreating the childhood joy of reading a book and being utterly transported into its pages." So there is actually kind of a novel theme to the game. It is like a book.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the game, Edith opens up a book, and as you explore different rooms of the house, it's like pages of the book appear on the screen, and the words are read aloud, and you can see the words on the screen. So there's kind of a literary theme in the game, and that works really well. So yeah, check it out. It's a really good game. What Remains of Edith Finch. It's a short game, and it costs 68 kwai for me. So I think it's $20 in the States and $10 in China.
Yeah.
So it's not a long game, but I would say if you enjoy Gone Home or Firewatch, then you'll really like this. This is that style of game, but I think it's done to, I'm not sure if it's like done to a higher level than Firewatch, but it's certainly kind of the evolution of that style of game. And these types of games have been getting better and better and more popular and more expressive and just all around more accessible and just better.
Have you beat it yet?
No, I have not beaten it yet.
All right. One other game that I just played through that came out about, I mean, I found out actually it came out like a few months ago, but it's a chapter based game. So like about a week ago, week and a half ago, the third chapter of the game out of 5 chapters was announced. And
what game?
It's called Bendy and the Ink Machine. So it's like kind of old timey, cartoonish looking game, 3D though, first person kind of survival horror game, but with like, you are going into an animation studio and it's got like old timey, kind of old school Mickey Mouse and like that kind of stuff animation, like really old. And
oh, kind of reminds me of Cuphead.
Yeah, like that. But it's first person.
Okay, cool.
And it's a survival horror game. Like
Mickey Mouse survival horror.
Yeah, it like actually kind of got to me. I played through the first chapter last night, which was pretty short, but it's free. And the additional chapters are, you know, available for purchase. I think the second one is 24 RMB.
Nice.
I'm not sure how long the second one is compared to the first one. The first one took me, you know, like maybe 20 to 30 minutes. So it was short.
Okay.
But, really good atmosphere. It like was surprisingly creepy. Like there's some visual imagery in it that is, I don't know, it's kind of jarring just the way that it goes from something that you think is so cute and charming, and then the way the story comes together and sets the atmosphere for this what looks like maybe a pretty twisted, messed up story.
Cool. Yeah. Bendy and the Ink Machine.
Yeah.
Anything else to mention before we wrap this up?
I mean, not really. I noticed Oxygen Not Included's available for early access from Clay Entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Prey came out recently.
Yeah, I was about to mention that. That has been noted for a lot of ridiculous glitches.
Really? Yeah, it's a high-profile game.
It looks cool, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I doubt it can be as glitchy as Mass Effect was.
The glitches don't... No, yeah, it's, I'm just kidding. I was about to go on my... the game's still Rick, good. The joke Rick. Is so tired.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and...
I've really enjoyed Mass Effect Andromeda. These gifts, priceless. I paid nothing for them. Nothing but pure value for me.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we got Oxygen Not Included, Warhammer 20K3, and... Little Nightmares, if you've seen that game, looks like pretty dark and cool.
Yep. Oh, also, Sexy Brutal. Have you heard of that?
No, but I'm on board. All right. You don't even have to tell me anything about it. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, it's like Clue. Apparently, it's like a mystery that you solve. Just came out. It's very well reviewed.
Like Clue?
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Clue the board game.
I saw a game called like Double Clue Solitary Solitaire.
Okay.
Which looked pretty bad.
Yeah, Sexy Brutal. I don't think it's that bad. So, all right. Well, thank you for listening to this podcast. You can listen to the rest of our podcasts on iTunes or on Stitcher. You can also download them or stream them on our website at chundugaming.com. You can also check out videocasts, which are the podcasts matched with video on our YouTube channel, which is Chundu Gaming.
And we've got a Twitter account at Chundu Gaming.
Yeah, check us out on Twitter too. If you have any comments or suggestions, Twitter is the best way to get in touch. And thank you for listening.
Over and out.